Well, this stinks. That's a pretty tough gospel reading. You have to give up everything for Jesus Christ. Everything. Now, obviously, you don't have to hate your mother. You don't want to hate people. But God becomes or is always before everything else. Everything else. And anything we put before God is idol worship. So, yes, I know we're sad that the Bulldogs lost, but God even becomes before the Bulldogs, right? God even comes before the Bears and the Packers. Yes, it's true. You get a lot of people today, and especially as this past week, as the world has been developing and world developments, people ask a lot of times, why is there evil in the world? You even get a lot of the atheists. How can you tell me that there is such a loving God if there is so much evil in the world? Look at all the evil. How can there be such a loving God? In a certain sense, there's a little bit of logic to it. But the answer the church gives us and the answer that Jesus gives us sounds the exact opposite of what we would expect. It is precisely because there is evil in the world that we know God loves us. Let me repeat that again, because that is so backwards to our way of thinking. It is precisely because there is evil in the world that we know God loves us, that God is love. How is that? How can it be? When evil entered into the world, it did not enter through God's will. It's not something God wanted or rejoiced in. Evil entered into the world because of us. Humanity chooses to say no to God. That's why evil enters into the world. And the more we choose against God's will, the more evil manifests itself in the world. Majority of time, why is there evil in the world? Usually, we can point the finger to ourselves and say, I was an idiot. I did something wrong. I didn't follow God's ways. I didn't understand God's ways, so I followed my own will, and now we reap the repercussions of our acts. And many times we wonder, why? Why is there evil in the world? We blame God for the evil in the world because we did it. We chose against God's will. Then we'd go try to find another answer. Where do we go? Where's the media? What does the media tell us to do? The quick fix. Boom, we do that, which is another no to God. And then we suffer more, and we dig ourselves into this big hole, and we do this society-wide. Hence, we got the issue with Syria. Hence, we got Russia getting involved into all this stuff. And that's unfortunate. And so, despite our sins, despite the fact that we are the ones who are responsible for the fact that there is evil in the world, God has mercy on us. That is why that suffering is the proof of God's mercy. He does not squash us. He does not condemn us immediately or anything like that. He is merciful to us. He wants to hear your confession. And he wants you to come to him. And he loves you just as much as he loves that person in Syria who did the killing. As much as he loves Putin, who's directing the Russians to oppose and supporting that person. He loves them just as much. And who are we to judge that? Who are we to condemn the other person when we ourselves are in need of such mercy, when God created us equal and with equal dignity, with equal love? And so we strive to offer up our sufferings, because that's the only answer. Because retaliation, creating more evil from the evil we receive, only manifests more evil. It does not bring a solution. And that's the answer that Jesus Christ gives us. That's tough. It's hard. But it doesn't take too long to see that it's the truth. And the truth will set you free. Being able to let go of some of these sufferings that we do, and we look at the things going on in Syria, maybe we think of the things in our life that are going wrong, and you look at somebody in Syria, what they're going through right now, they can imagine the anxiety they have being wiped off the map. You know, our troubles seem so minuscule. The evils we suffer are, I mean, what are they compared to that? There are so many other people who need our prayers and our hope, our help. That's why yesterday Pope Francis invited everybody to join him in prayer and fasting. Now, he called yesterday as a day of prayer and fasting. So I did that yesterday up until after the Easter Vigil Mass. Hopefully that will be fine, but I had to cook the rib dinner for a donation, so. But I would invite you to prayer and fasting. One of the things that a lot of people misunderstood in Vatican II was that since prayer and fasting was no longer absolutely required, we don't have to do it, therefore we don't do it, and then all of a sudden it looks like a strange thing to do, something of antiquity. That wasn't the intention of Vatican II. Vatican II no longer required fasting so that you can actually voluntarily do it. And when you voluntarily fast, there's more merit in it. When there's more merit in it, there's more grace in it. When there's more grace in it, the world can be changed. And so that's why Pope Francis asks for your fasting. And I encourage you to fast. Even if you're diabetic or maybe you got to take care of yourself, MS, and you know, sometimes you have medical conditions. Don't put the butter on the potatoes. Don't put the salt on the food. If you got a cake, leave it to your hubby. Let them have it. There are many things, little things we can do for others, and then grace throws through that. Through fasting, there's a little bit of suffering. So there's different kinds of suffering. There's suffering that we didn't cause, Syria. There's suffering that we do cause, suffering when somebody murders somebody, or when we don't follow God's ways and things go haywire down the road, and we don't understand why necessarily, because cause and effect might be three times over before it gets back to us. And then there's another suffering, which is through fasting, voluntary suffering. So I encourage you to be able to do that so that the world can be a better place. This is something as Catholics we've totally forgotten, and we've thought of as something of antiquity, something archaic, when it's not. There are a lot of graces that come from it. Self-control as a human virtue. But then there's God's grace that enters in, peace. He infuses us with peace. And that's why fasting can stop wars, as they say. So I encourage you and invite you to do what fasting you can do. I've read up on a little bit, the Vatican seems to be asking more and more for fasting with the HHS mandate, with the issue with marriages, and all those things. There have been bishops and cardinals from the Vatican have asking for fasting. So I encourage you to do the Wednesday and Friday fast. I've been doing it since I got back from Medjugorje. Our Lady said, I want you to fast on Wednesdays and Fridays. So I'm like, okay, Well, if I got to ask you, I got to do it myself, so I've started fasting on Wednesdays and Fridays. All right? It wouldn't be right for me to do that and pig out on Wednesdays and Fridays. So I'm asking you to join me with that. For whatever it is, for peace on earth, for the souls in purgatory, for those who are in need. And you can even give. Give a little bit to St. Vincent de Paul or FACC as a form of fasting, giving, almsgiving. You know, take, I don't care if it's $2-3. It's a way of giving and offer that up with grace. So now, with that $1 or $2 you give, $5, $10, ask our Lord to bring grace with that $10. Now, that little offering becomes a means of grace for whoever they serve, whether it's giving here at the church or at any nonprofit organization. So I encourage you to do that. Don't get in the pity pot. Don't sulk in the suffering you have. Don't worry about the suffering in the world so much. You know, we worry about it. That's going to be a natural inclination. I get worried about it. Obviously, the Pope's worried about it. But know that there's a God out there. Know and remind yourself that he was the primary sufferer for our salvation. And that through that suffering, God can do miracles. He can change the world. But only if you offer that suffering up with him. You have that power to unlock the key of suffering that can change the world. I invite you to unlock that door, to allow grace to flow, to allow your suffering to change the world.